Hey, I'm so pumped to be here with all of you. It's offering time, so let's get ready. We're doing, obviously, because we do things online now as well, we have to flip-flop every normalcy that maybe some are used to, but let's be real, right? Nothing's normal for any of us right now. I saw a meme yesterday that I thought was probably the best one yet out of this whole 2020, and it was the safe word for 2020 was Worcestershire sauce. And clearly no one knows how to say it correctly. Worcestershire. Whatever. Worcestershire. I love it. It's a word that clearly makes us all turn four again. So I love it. But I'm so blessed to be here with all of you. You may not know this, but in doing these moments of filming and looking at the camera and stuff, I'm usually looking out into a void. But to see your faces, it's just so wonderful. It's awesome to see your faces. It's family. You know, that's what it's all about. I love being here. And so in my message, I'll get to this. All right, I'm going ahead. It's offering time. Let's do it. Hey, it's time to give, and so in giving, there's multiple ways to give. You can text to give. You can see the prompts behind me. You can text Trailhead to 888-364-4483. You can download our Trailhead app. You can give by selecting the giving tab. And for many of you that are here in this room today, if you want to give by check or cash outside, we will not be passing the buckets through the aisles today, but outside in the little lobby there are two little wicker baskets. You can throw your offering into there as well. And also for those that are online, you'd like to mail it in, it's 123 North Main Street, Graham, North Carolina, 27253. As my wife pointed out, I have, for many of you guys that have been beside me working in our future home, we are at the home stretch, meaning the lights at the end of the tunnel, and we're super happy about that. But there are some finishing things, and I have called upon every one of you in this room, I believe, and I've exhausted all of you. And so when I made that phone call to my pastor friend, Justin, he and I are best friends in the ministry, and he's spoken here before. He said, well, what can we do? And I said, man, I said, I'm just exhausted. I said, we have so many other projects to do. I said, he goes, well, maybe I could send some guys down. And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be awesome. And he goes, oh, you're serious. Oh, you really do need help. He goes, I was just doing one of those courtesy, hey, I'll send some guys down. And I was like, no, like for real. And so I told him, he said, what kind of guys do you need? I said, I need master carpenters. And so he is sending master carpenters and people actually own their own construction companies up from their Ohio, and they're coming down, and they're going to, at first they were like, how can we save you guys money? And I said, sleep in the warehouse? And they were like, all right. So what's really awesome is that in our kids' space, we have bathrooms in every one of our kids' classrooms. So they have like this massive hotel room. Each classroom for each man, and they're going to live in there on an air mattress. There is a shower, by the way, if you didn't know this. There's a shower downstairs, and it does have hot water now. I've taken a shower there a few times with no hot water, so I'm a little jealous. But I'm really excited that these guys will be coming. It's going to be awesome. So with that said, let's pray, and then we'll receive the offering this morning. Let's do it. Lord, we thank you for this time to give. Lord, what an awesome opportunity we have. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we, as we give, Lord, it's a sweet sacrifice, Lord, that it is a sacrifice that you are well pleased with. God, I thank you, Lord, that as we have given, Lord, that it is not out of compulsion, but Lord, it is cheerful. Lord, it's sacrificial, and Lord, that it's regular. God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to honor you, God, knowing that you are the best gift giver. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said earlier, I started getting into my message a little too soon. I'm just so excited to see faces. I know you know seeing faces is great, but to see my church, my people come together, it just makes me so excited. 2 weeks ago, I had to film a message in here, and Jeremy, with the homeschooling process, Jeremy, our creative pastor, he's usually in this room, and he sits right where Jeremy Harkins sits, and he just looks at me. But at least I have someone I can preach to. You know, it's like I'm preaching to Jeremy, right? Well, Jeremy presses record, and then he says, all right, I got to go next door and be with Brindley, my daughter. And I go, oh, so I'm just in here all by myself. And he's like, yeah, you'll do great. And he walks out of the room, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a nightmare. I don't, some of you may think that I preach my sermons as if, like a prep in prep, as if I sit in my office or I sit in my bedroom or I put all my kids down in the living room and I practice. I don't. Like usually it's just, you know, I go. Man, that was one of the most awful experiences. And you guys don't know this because Jeremy obviously edited it out. When I finished, I was like, amen. And I just looked around and I was like, done. And I just walked off. And I was like, there was no one to give you a hug. No, like, hey, how's life? How are you guys doing? You know, because it's just hard. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. And now what you don't also know is I only have 18 minutes now to preach a message. So here we go. Because Jeremy has to get out because the internet service here in Graham is awful. He has to drive home, upload it from his house very quickly. So we can't wait to get in the warehouse where we have faster internet and all of that. So be praying Psalm 20, okay, as my wife points out to you. My message title this morning is obedience and sacrifice. And this picture actually I took while I was out west this past week. My wife and I, we got away and we went sleeping in a tent. And so we're extra close this week. this was a place that when we first saw it, I thought, oh my gosh. And the words that come to me when I look at this picture is actually obedience and sacrifice. And maybe the photo will come out more clear as I preach. My motivation this morning with my message is not a message of correction. Don't take this message as if, man, he was harsh this morning. It's not. It's a reflection of where you stand with God. That's what I want. I want us to walk out of here today, and I want you to be at home today asking those questions of, where am I standing with God? Am I standing in a posture of obedience and sacrifice? Or am I standing in a posture of, it's my way, and sometimes it's God's way? Or, God, I don't have to do that, because you'll forgive me. Obedience and sacrifice. As your pastor, also, I need you all to realize that any individual who stands in a pulpit that has been given this this will of God to speak into people's lives, we don't take it lightly. None of us do. I know many pastors that have the heart of God, and this is not easy. And we as pastors are reminded of a few verses here, and it's found in James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's not a puff-up phrase of like, many of you should become teachers. It's not like that. It's like, hey, because there is heaviness to the words you speak. And then I love what it says. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. There's many moments in your life that I have walked out of here and I thought, oh, goodness, I wish I would have said it this way. I hope that the message that I conveyed from the stage reflects the Father. I pray that. And so in today's message, that's my prayer. I pray that the mistakes, if any, are not taken in a heavy stance, but more or less taken in the sense of like, I see his direction. I know where he's going. And then sift it out with the word of God, of like, what's God's word have to say about this? You make many mistakes. And there is heaviness to what is said, for sure. So that leads me into my whole point of this message, Exodus chapter 12, 7 through 11. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Now, I hope that you guys already know where I'm talking. This is one of those wonderful stories of Christianity, of who we are. This is a Judaism type of story, okay? But in this, the reflection of the Old Testament is always pointing to the New Testament. The New Testament is always confirming the Old Testament. You see there's a type and shadow to this. I'm talking about Passover. I'm talking about the Israelites leaving out of Egypt and how they were instructed to put blood over the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses. And then in verse 8, that same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. And here is the key verse in all this, verse 11. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. There was an instruction on how to eat this. I envision someone kind of maybe like this, right? Like holding it in, the ability to take that meat from the ground, from a plate, and put it in your mouth and just going at it, and you're holding your staff. And it's kind of like the almost like on your mark, get set type of a runner. And that placement of, man, I'm ready to go. This is a type and shadow of salvation. A type and a shadow of the blood shed and the acceptance of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose from the grave so that we could be saved, that we could have a Lord over our lives, and that we would follow him and do what he says to do. Because why? Because he comes from the Father. He does only what the Father says. And for us, we are to follow this example. And when we have accepted this, understood it, not accepting in the sense of like, I accept it, but no, understand it. That word doesn't just cease to exist when we just say, oh, we accept it. As if, oh, I accept today that we're going to eat tacos. That I accept the fact that it's just what it is. No, it's an accepting and understanding of value, a heaviness, a weighted heaviness, where you say, no, I get it. I want it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to do it. It's an obedience. It's a sacrifice. And in doing so, you're prepped and you're ready and you're at that stance. I can do this. You know, obedience and sacrifice may not be the most thrilling two words in the book of the Bible here. And obedience and sacrifice, definitely you may think, oh, it's going to be great. Because, you know, heaven here on earth, right? Because when you accept Jesus, you get heaven here on earth. And so then, therefore, everything's just going to be wonderful. It's going to be daisies and flowers and gold streets. And God's basically like, you know, my money bag father. Right? I'll just, like, when I need something, I'll go to him. But then the Israelites really got a full taste of what obedience and sacrifice taste like. Because like here they're like, yeah, we're going to leave Egypt. Forget this. Slavery, it's awful. You know, it's awful. It's bad and all these things. And then it's like, obedience and sacrifice, we can do this. Staff, sandals, tucked in, let's go. And then they're like, oh. And before you know it, they're sitting here saying, oh, I wish we could go back. I wish we could go back. And in that moment of, you know, acknowledgement and realization, they go, this is awful. Because why? Because they were stripped of their comforts. They were stripped. They were stripped of just the regular routine. They're stripped of these things. And then some real things started coming out. They got squeezed. Real stuff started coming out. You guys, just like this, and even in verse 31, if you keep reading, Pharaoh calls to Moses and Aaron and says, get out of here. God obviously knew what was about to take place. In the same manner that when you receive Jesus, you accept this stance. You accept and you acknowledge his lordship over your life. You should be ready to go. And I'm going to tell you that it's not the prettiest at times, because some of you have so many worldly things strapped to your body that you don't even know it. I go to the airport yesterday. I'm like, I'm going to check in, right? I've got a rolling cart. I got my strap bag with my computer and different things in it. And I've got this big backpack on. And I'm going to check in both of these bags, the big backpack and this rolling cart thing. So I go up to the counter and I plop this thing on. It's 50 pounds. I'm like, you can have it. And I was so excited because it was like 49.5. Score. It's like, I did it. And I've got this all on me. And the guy takes it. And I look at Anna and I'm like, all right. And I start walking away. She's like, I got to use the restroom. And I was like, okay. She goes in the restroom, standing there. And I'm like, something feels weird. It still feels as if this thing's on my back because I've been used to it. Been used to something on my back all week long, right? And then I'm like, ah, nuts. I forgot to throw this on the thing. And I was so upset because it wasn't like, oh, I can just walk over there and drop it on the thing. No, I had to get back in line, right? So here I am standing in line, sitting here, go, gosh, why did I do that? Like, why did I keep this? I was there. I was like right there at the front. I was so upset. I stand in line. And finally, I get through the line again, and I drop it down, and I turn around, and everyone's gone. My wife, Tom and Hillary, they're all gone. And I was like, they left me. I felt left all by myself. I even called, and I was like, hey, where are you guys at? And she's like, I'm still in the bathroom. And I was like, oh, I thought you all left me. And I said that. I was like, I thought you left me. You, when you're carrying baggage, you start walking in a fence. Oh, I started getting mad as if my wife was, she left me. You left me. All of you. And then I felt really bad because she was talking to me on her watch, so it was in speakerphone. So everyone heard, like our whole group heard. You all left me. And they were like, we didn't leave you. Like, Josh, we wouldn't leave you. But I wanted to get in a fence. Why? Because I had baggage that I didn't give to God. God works you through this process to let go of baggage. He wants you to drop it. He's reminding you, hey, we don't need these things. That's what the Israelites didn't understand. And unfortunately, only a handful, Caleb and Joshua, really grasped hold of, no, God can do everything. God can do anything. And it's that stance again of like, I accepted him as Lord and personal Savior. I took the blood. I covered my door frame. I declared this. So therefore, now I'm ready. God, what do you have for me to do? And it may look like that. It may look desolate where you're like, where are the resources at, God? And the reason why it looks like that is because God is saying, oh, I'm your resource. Not these things. Not all this stuff that's happening around you. Not all these banners that people are waving. Not these things. The banner that's being waved is that I am a Christian. And that I am a daughter and a son of the Lord Most High. And that's who I am. And I have something good for you. I have good news. And where I walk, God is there because I'm following his footsteps. I'm doing what Jesus has done, already done. I'm proclaiming the gospel. I'm proclaiming the good news. I've got it. I mean, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 here, it says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will never acquit you or condemn you. I'm out and there's some restaurants. And there's this restaurant called the Heart Attack Grill. I don't know if you've ever heard of this place. I didn't eat there. I didn't eat there. I would never eat there. No. They put a hospital gown on you. And you sit and you eat. And if you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat for free there. It's a real unique restaurant. Let me just say that. Outside, there's a scale. All right? So in my head, I thought, I've been hiking all week long. I've lost weight. And I thought also, maybe the scales are off, right? Maybe the scales are off because, well, anyone who's at 350, like legit, maybe they don't want them to. So they'll, like, they scaled it back by like 10, 15 pounds. So I was like, I'm going to step up there on the scale and my wife is going to think I'm just hot. She's going to be like, oh, Josh, you lost weight. Oh, Josh, you look good, right? So there's like all sorts of people walking by. I mean, all sorts of people. And there's this scale. And it's not like a scale like the size of my pulpit. No, it's like a scale. Like where you would like weigh like heavy loads, obviously. With confidence. Oh, with confidence. I stepped up on that scale. I've got this, right? And all of a sudden, it was just beautiful. 218 pounds. And I was like, at home I only weighed 205. I've gained 13 pounds this week. I gained pounds. I mean, I ate trail mix and apples with peanut butter. I'm like, but it, I mean, there was that one day I ate a cinnamon roll and a hamburger. But I was like, oh, it was split second thinking. You know, like when they say, like, you know, like your life flashes before you right before you die. That's what I felt like because I knew I had to face my wife. Because she was over here. There's all sorts of people walking by. And I was like, 218. Oh, gosh. Oh, what am I going to say? And I turned around and this guy behind me goes, it's all muscle, baby. It's all muscle. And I turned around and I was like, that's right. It's all muscle, baby. It's all muscle. And she's and when I got back to the little group, my little group, they were laughing. I can't believe you went over there and stood in front of all those people and weighed yourself. Like, you're that dumb. Like, Anna kept looking at me like, what have you been eating this week? It was by no means like, it's okay, baby. Like, she was not going to stroke my ego 1 second. It was literally, what have you been eating? What do you have in your pockets? Like, what is going on with you? Now, that's a funny story, and everyone enjoys those funny stories. But there will be a day where we stand on the scale and our words have weight. And it's not going to be in front of 1,000 people. It's not going to be in front of one person. It's going to be in front of God. And it's a definite, more heavier moment than you can imagine. The purpose of all of this to ask the question for you this morning in your own self-examination is, what have you been saying and what have you been doing? Is it and does it align with obedience and sacrifice? Is it leading people to Jesus or is it taking people away from Jesus? Because I am a firm believer that in this current day and time that we're living in, there is a sifting taking place. It reminds me of something that you actually see in Luke. But before I get there, John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If I say the word up, then you guys should obviously know there's a down. If I say the word long, then you guys know that there's a short, right? These are kind of known thoughts, right? So when I see Jesus say things like, "Really, my disciples," then I think that there are people who are not really disciples. The obedient versus the disobedient. And so then you start asking that question, God, what does it look like to be a real disciple? What's the obedient and the sacrifice take? What is that? So I love what A.W. Tozer writes. A true disciple is not taken an impulsive leap in the dark. That person is one who has become a Christian after deep thought and proper consideration. A true disciple has allowed the Word of God to search his or her heart. A true disciple has felt the sense of personal sin and the need to be released from it. A true disciple has come to believe that Jesus Christ is the only person who can release him or her from guilt. A true disciple has committed himself or herself without equivocation. Basically without a without thought of dismissal, without reservation to Jesus Christ the Savior. A true disciple does not consider Christianity a part-time commitment. A true disciple has reached the point in Christian experience where there is no turning back. Follow him or follow her for 24 hours of the day and night, and you will find you can count on that person's faithfulness to Christ and his or her joyful abiding in the Word of God. There's a lot of sifting taking place. There's a lot of division taking place, a lot of sides. And what you don't realize is that in those sides that you're taking, and by no means misinterpret what I'm saying right now, but in these sides that we're taking, we are hurting people. We're hurting people. So I think it's very important that we stop for a second and ask ourselves that motivation. Ask ourselves, hey, is this what God wants me to do? You have no idea the impact and the longevity with the heaviness to some of your actions you're taking place, because it's not actions of God. There's a lot of hate being spewed. There's a lot of words out there that are hurting people. The attitudes that we may carry, they're hurting people. And unless it's done by God, unless it's, hey, this is what God's calling me to do, I would be very careful. This would be very, very careful. My intention is for you to all walk out of here today going, am I obedient and am I living a life of sacrifice for God? What do I stand for right now? Am I standing for the things of God? Align what those things are and to the Word of God. Align those things up and see if it has the weight and value that is of God. I would really encourage you to do this. There is a sifting taking place. In John chapter 8, verse 19, they asked the question, "Where is thy father?" to Jesus. And Jesus responds, "Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also." What Jesus is saying here is that you would have known. God, you would have known because you have been in such a place of obedience and sacrifice to my Father in heaven. God would have revealed to you that I am the Savior. That's what Jesus is saying. You would know the things of my Father. you would be very well aware of this. And some of you, I've even heard the argument before out of Christians. They'd say, oh, I don't know, though, because think about that day and time. And there was a lot of false saviors that would come up, and they would say certain things and all this. Now, let me tell you something. At birth, there was a man named Simeon, and there was a woman named Anna. And they knew the minute that they laid eyes on Jesus that he was the Savior. And Simeon says something very, very important. And it still rings true to this very moment right now in September of 2020. And it's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 through 35. Then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Jesus didn't cause people. That's when you read this, you'd be like, oh yeah, he caused it on purpose. No, let me say it. He has been sent as a sign from God. Okay, now I'm going to go up to the beginning. This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. Jesus' intentions weren't to cause people to trip and fall. Jesus' intentions was to call out, are you obedient and sacrificial? Are you obedient and are you willing to do the will of God? That's what he did. He called that out, which in turn created a reaction. And that reaction, in sense, in the all essence, would cause you to believe that he would cause many to fall. But no, no, no. They themselves, because God gave us free will from the very beginning of time, and that's the reason why Adam created this open door for sin in our flesh for the rest of mankind here on this earth until Jesus comes back. But this moment, Jesus calls out and says, are you for me or are you against me? Do you know the things of the Father? Because if you do, then you'll know who I am. You'll know that I'm doing the things of the Father. But unfortunately, these people had no idea. They were so about self-gain. What do I have? What can I get? What kind of baggage? What kind of, look at the things that are on my back. Look at where I've been. Look what I've done. Show me. Look at me. You guys, I said the word show me. Maybe I need to define that. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to define the show me. We're living in a posture in today where it's, I'll believe you if you show me. Let me Google it. There's a better example for everyone. Google it. Fact check that thing, right? God tells us, put our cloak down on our belt, put our sandals on, get our staff, and be ready to go. Yet there is no knowing of where that's at. And in that process, it's pure trust. It's not a, show me God before I go, I need to know these destinations. It's just a blatant freedom of, I give it unto God that God's going to show me and direct me. And in that process, if he tells me to let go of stuff, I'm going to let go of it. I'm not going to hold true to these things. I'm not going to have to. I better, it's like, no. It's just you and God only. Are you obedient and sacrificial? Are you seeing God, whatever it is, I don't care. I am willingly and obediently ready to let go of any ideology that I may have or any crazy theology that I have adapted or adopted. I am willing to do everything your word has to say. I am willing. Because I believe right now there is a sifting taking place, and many of you in this room who call yourselves Christians are actually causing people to never be a Christian. And you need to self-examine yourself. What if I told you, and my wife begged me not to say this, what if I told you that already some of you in this room have caused people to leave our church because some of the dumbest things have been said on social media? And guess who gets the emails and the phone calls? This guy. Because of your ignorance to the things of God. And I won't put up with it. Because you need to be a little bit more smarter than what you are showing yourself to be. I love you all in this room, and you know it, but I'm not going to put up with it. Every skin color matters. Every black life matters. Everybody in this room matters. But right now, we do know that there is racism, and we need to stop it, and you know it. All right? I know that there are things in this world that you guys, I need you guys to know, I'm not perfect. I've read James chapter 3 for all of you to realize, I wish I was perfect, and I wish every word was perfect that came out of my mouth. But let's be real, not everything's perfect. I'm not perfect. Some of the things I do, you guys would not, you would feel like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm sure. Let me follow you around too someday. But my intention and my heartfelt thing is for all of you this morning is to ask yourself, are you obedient and are you willing to sacrifice all to the things of God? And what is that? You guys are holding on to things. And everyone wants to stand for something, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you are a UNC fan, whether you're a Duke fan. It's like you want to hold on to it. I'm on the airplane, and this woman, she must have been an Appy State fan, and she goes, oh, Marshall's beating Appy State. I heard it in her voice. Oh, I graduated from Marshall. And I was like, I mean, I don't really have any skin in the game. I don't even know who the quarterback is, you know? But I was like, whoa. Immediately you want to be like, whoa. I wanted to, like, lean over the thing and be like, I bleed green, woman. I bleed green. But I didn't. I didn't, you know? But it's like, but now, that's surface level, right? I'm not trying to dismiss those heavier things, because they're much heavier than football games, okay? Much heavier. But what I'm trying to say is, hey, take a step back. Because some of you are holding on to things you should not hold on to. Some of you are gripping so tight. My last thing, I need to wrap this up. Here's what I mean by that. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it multiple more times. There is this saying that went around churches decades ago, and it's still kind of surfacing in certain churches, and that's this whole idea of come to church as you are. And I call shenanigans. Because they were doing this whole slogan because people were like, back in the day there were suits, right? Everyone wore a suit to church. So now it's like, come as you are, because we know some of you are poor. So like, you can't afford a suit and it's okay. You don't have to feel out of place. And that makes complete sense. I get it. But then it was kind of like, then they adapted that into sin and into just, you can still be who you are. And I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot be who you are. You cannot be who you are. So my question is, are you willing to say, God, I am obedient and I will sacrifice whatever it takes, because I will not be the tripping stone for people. And some of you, you may actually have already contemplated on leaving this church. You thought, oh, maybe I should leave because, you know, there's some people here, or they don't believe the same way I believe, or something. They're standing for this, or they're standing for that. Do not leave this church. You need to be the voice. You need to be a voice. You need to be heard to say, no, I'm walking in the things of God. I'm going to stay into the things of God. I don't have enough time because of stupid internet. I want you to self-examine yourself today when you go home and ask, is it worth it? And I mean that for serving God. Because it's everything. Everything. He's going to tell you to stop listening to some of the music you're listening to. He's going to tell you to dump the person beside you, not your married spouse. He's going to tell you things, how you need to start correcting your children. And it's going to be very desolate. It's going to be hard. He's going to tell you to quit your job. He's going to tell you to talk to somebody you never talked to before. He's going to tell you to sit down and have dinner with someone you've never thought in a million years you'd sit down and have dinner with. He's going to ask you to give something you've never given before. He's going to ask you valuable things to give, time and effort and thoughts. He's going to ask you to fast and pray. God's going to ask you to do things that you've never imagined. But he says in his word that when you choose to do this, you are choosing to follow truth, and that truth is true freedom. And you don't recognize that freedom just yet. But in that moment that you acknowledge and you go, oh, I still have this on my back, and you take it off, you'll know what true freedom is. Some of you are holding on to things you need to let go. You're living in a fence. You're allowing things to come on you and stay on you when you do not need to. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time together. Lord, I thank you that we are not alone, and that you are with us always. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are calling us out to be real disciples. God, that you're calling us out for obedience and sacrifice. God, we thank you, and we honor you with everything in us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.